Okay, I hope everyone's back. Again, good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a, I hope it is a beautiful day where you're at, and that we are ready for that message that we are to hear today. I know our brother has given it time and thought. I know that he has a message for us, and so I would ask that each of you offer up a prayer for our brother Benny, that you would also offer up a prayer for ourselves. So introduce to you our brother Benny Case.
Thanks, Jeff. As I was going through the week, I was, admittedly, I was struggling a little bit on subject matter because the thoughts in my mind were kind of running in two different streams. But yesterday, they came together for me. I had promised to help out a friend of Patsy's, because they wanted to install a garage door opener in their garage. And so I said, sure, that's a couple hours of work, no big deal. Well, I got over there yesterday, and 6 hours later, we suspended, and I'm going to go back this afternoon and finish. And the reason was preparation. when they built the house, they had done some things to prepare, the builder had, for a garage door opener. But there were some very fundamental things that have to be in place that weren't there. So we ended up spending most of that time yesterday actually doing the prep work to get ready to install a garage door opener. And that brought me back to the two things that I had been thinking about and how they go together. My first reading is in Ephesians chapter 6, and this is something that we've heard many times. In fact, it's been the theme of the teen camp at least twice over the years. I'm going to start with the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in all the evil in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so, I want to go back, and the thing that I had been thinking about is why was it that in this passage, preparation was linked with the feet. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's all these other things that you put on, but the preparation was like shoes, socks, whatever. And it kind of came together for me yesterday is that preparation takes time. That preparation is hard work. And for any of you who have done any hiking, if you don't have properly fitting footwear, if you don't have the right socks on, you're going to end up with blisters or, you know, horrible foot pain. And you're not going to be able to focus on what the goal is because your feet are going to take you out of the fight. And so I think that the reason that the Lord caused this to be this way is that having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel is because that tends to be the long, grueling part of it. That's the other pieces, parts are absolutely necessary. You can't be successful without them. But if your feet aren't properly shod, even though everything else is in place, you're not going to be successful. And the other thing that I was thinking was the time of year. And based on that, I'm not going to talk about the birth of Jesus per se. I'm going to talk about preparation. And I'm going to start with the first chapter of Luke. Because even the gospel of Christ had to be prepared for. Jesus didn't just show up one day. There were prophecies throughout the Old Testament, and then there's one specific preparation that happened here. So let me read about this preparation. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him to the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, but shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy words. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation he hath showed strength in his arms. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came when she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that were dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto this people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And so this, we've gone through about, you know, 9 months of time here, a little bit more than. And, you know, Luke was really good in the way he wrote this for us to help us to understand how it fit together. That, you know, Elizabeth conceived this son. That when Mary came, you know, John was so filled with the Holy Ghost, even as an unborn child, that when he heard the voice of Mary, he leaped. Because even at that point, he knew what his purpose in life was, and who was that child that was conceived in his mother's cousin's womb. And when he was born, you know, everybody expected, oh, it's Zechariah Jr., because this is such a great thing, because they're old people, they're past the age of having children, it's got to be a junior. You know, and Elizabeth said, no, his name is John, because that's what Gabriel had told him. That's what Gabriel had told Zechariah. And so they were confused, and it's like, yep. So they went to Zechariah and said, "You're kidding, right?" And, you know, and he told him he wanted something to write down, and he wrote, "His name is John." As soon as he did that, he could speak. And so what did he do? There was immediately a prophecy given him, and he prophesied about what this meant to the world, to Israel, in specific direction to his infant son. So I'm going to skip over now to the third chapter. Many years have gone by. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturnia, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. You know, and as we all know, this was John's mission, to prepare for when Jesus would bring his gospel, to set him up for what was to come. And it was so important that he was preaching baptism, or repentance, and for the remission of sins. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones, to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answereth and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered unto them all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And it goes on and goes through the rest of his story, but we can see that John came and he prepared the way for Jesus. And these people that knew the prophecies, you know, they came to be baptized, and each, based on their own thing, is like, okay, with the poor, if you got something and you have spare, give that to those in need. To the publicans, he said, don't look for something extra. Only look for what is due you. Don't be trying to get something else that you're not supposed to have. And then the soldiers, you know, apparently even back then, soldiers were not very well paid. And he said, you know, he talked to them about not seeking violence and not to do anything falsely. And to be content with their wages. And so then people started thinking, well, is this the Christ? But he was very clear on that matter too. He didn't take anything onto himself. And he told them very plainly, no, I'm not him. I'm his servant. I came to prepare the way for him. I'm not even worthy to unlatch his shoes. You know, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And so John brought his service, his preparation, because Jesus, even though he, you know, we know his story and he went through and had many things happen as he grew up, his ministry didn't become active, shall we say, until he was around the age of 30. John had been preaching Christ for quite some time. Because he started as a pretty young man. It just, he was out in the wilderness, and then he came, you know, as time came, he came more into the cities. But his whole purpose was preparation. To do, lay that foundation that when Jesus came, he could use that foundation to deliver the gospel. And so I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna keep on going here a little bit to what does that mean to us? You know, we talk about what John did, we talk about the gospel, but how does that come right down to you and me? And I think it's pretty well stated in Alma. I'm going to go to the 9th chapter of Alma, and I'm going to start with the 35th verse, and it's on page 345 in my book. It may be 346 in the new one. I can't remember. But anyhow, Alma was preaching, and this one man, a Tonahaw, came and started asking questions. Because he was a bit confused. And so here he is. What does the scripture mean, which saith that God placed cherubim and flaming sword on the east of the Garden of Eden, lest our first parents should enter and partake of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever? And thus we see that there is no possible chance they should live forever. Now Alma said unto him, this is the thing which I was about to explain. So this man of Tonahaw is kind of, he's confused to say, okay, well, we can't live forever because they didn't eat of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So how can we live forever if we can't live forever? Because it's pretty plain that it's laid out this way. So Alma's got to kind of say, okay, now, let's talk about this some more. Now we see that Adam did fall by the partaking of the forbidden fruit, according to the word of God, and thus we see that by his fall, all mankind became a lost and a fallen people. And now behold, I say unto you, that if it had been possible for Adam to have partaken of the fruit of the tree of life, at that time there would have been no death, and the world would have been void, making God a liar, for he said, if thou eat, thou shalt surely die. And we see that death comes upon mankind, yea, the death which has been spoken of by Amulek, which is a temporal death. Nevertheless, there was a space granted unto man in which he might repent. Therefore, this life became a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God. A time to prepare for that endless state, which has been spoken of by us, which is after the resurrection of the dead. Now, if it had not been for the plan of redemption, which was laid from the foundation of the world, there could have been no resurrection of the dead. But there was a plan of redemption laid, which shall bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, of which has been spoken. And now behold, If it were possible that our first parents could have gone forth and partaken of the tree of life, they would have been forever miserable, having no preparatory state. And thus the plan of redemption would have been frustrated, and the word of God would have been void, taking none effect. But behold, it was not so. But it was appointed unto man that they must die, and after death they must come to judgment, even that same judgment of which we have spoken, which is the end. And so I'm going to stop there and talk about this preparation. You know, we talked about the reason that preparation is linked with having your feet shod in Ephesians is because of how important that foundation is, that no matter what you put on your body, if your feet aren't properly shod, you're not going to last long as you go forth. And so preparation becomes kind of our spiritual feet. And John the Baptist, who was the older cousin of Jesus, came to do that preparation for Jesus to do his gospel, to come and preach, to prepare the people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he again was that foot soldier. He did the walking. He did the miles so that the people could hear, so that there was a foundation under them. And he was very clear that he was not the one that they sought, but he was the one who came to prepare the way for the one who they sought. And then Alma tells us that because this foundation, the plan of redemption, was from the beginning. And if any of these other things had happened, it would have frustrated the plan of redemption. But they didn't happen. And the reason they didn't happen was because God moved to fulfill his word from the very beginning of time to make this life a preparatory state. So this is our time to do that footwork, to get ourselves shod, to prepare to meet God, to prepare to live with God, to be able to go and meet with Jesus, and to lay down our old life in those waters of baptism and to take up our new life so that we can truly do the hard work, the preparation, so that when that time comes, we will receive the reward of the preparation that we have done. I want to thank you all for your time and your attention this morning, and I pray that as we go forward here in this Christmas season, that we really think truly about what it means and what our life means and where we stand on our preparatory journey to make sure that spiritually our feet are shod with that preparation of the gospel, that we are doing the work that God has for us to do, so that we have the strength to carry that full armor of the gospel of Christ, to do whatever it is he has for us to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Benny.